Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditations on the person of Jesus, Jesus of the Gospels, a historical Jesus. We saw how he started his ministry with the proclamation that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, that he was anointed by the Spirit and sent out to proclaim the good news of liberation. And he started exercising this liberating activity in the synagogue of Capernaum by casting out demons. The exorcising activity of Jesus was one of the most visible aspects of this liberative action of Jesus. Satan, who held people captive, was defeated in the desert. And the victims of Satan were liberated through the activity of Jesus, the exorcising activity. Exorcism was not the only liberating activity that Jesus exercised. In fact, more important and more visible was his healing activity. Today we want to focus our attention on Jesus the healer. Jesus was known as a person who healed the sick. Thousands and thousands of people came to him looking for healing. People who were sick were brought to him. Those who could not walk were carried to him, all with the hope that he would heal them. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, we read, "He came down with them and stood on a level place. He came down with them from the mountain where he had spent a whole night in prayer, and at dawn he had elected or chosen 12 of his disciples and called them apostles." So this newly elected apostolic college, Jesus comes down to the plain from the presence of God. From the top of the mountain, he comes down to the valley of tears, the valley where people suffer. And here, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coastlands of Sidon and Tyre. When Jesus comes down, there is a big, large group of people. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Two are the main motivations that led these crowds to Jesus. They want to listen to him. They want to be healed of their diseases. Proclamation of the word and healing of the sick were two aspects of the public ministry of Jesus. And people had come from far and near, Tyre and Sidon, foreign lands, hundreds of kilometers away from the Lake of Tiberias and Mount Tabor. They come from far. They come to hear and they come to be healed. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. There was a healing power radiating from the person of Jesus. People knew it. If he could come near to Jesus, touch even the fringes of his clothes, you could be saved, you could be healed. That's how all sorts of people came to him. They wanted to be healed. And all those who touched him, all those who believed in him, all those who came into contact with him were healed. The same Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7, we hear of a delegation sent by John the Baptist. John the Baptist heard in prison about the activities of Jesus, about how he was healing, how he was working wonders. And it was something different from John had predicted or preached. John had told the crowds that one coming after him was more strong, and the stronger one had the axe in his hand, that he was going to put the axe to the roots of the trees, and all trees that do not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into fire. So John had envisaged a judge to follow him. Now he hears about Jesus the healer. So we read in Luke 7:18 and following verses. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, all the healings and raising of the dead. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" So the question is repeated, and the question is focused. Are we to wait for somebody else, or are you the Messiah, the Redeemer, the stronger one who is to anoint the people with the Holy Spirit? Are you the one about whom our Master had preached? Jesus does not give a direct reply. Before the reply of Jesus reported, Luke tells us of the situation into which the disciples of John are introduced. In verse 21, Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. So against this background, Jesus tells them, and he answered them, "Go and tell John what he has seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." So these are the signs. These are the signs you can see for yourselves and decide for yourselves whether I am the one to come or not. How were they to make a decision? The disciples of John, as every Jew or any Jew of the time of Jesus, were aware of the prophecies. Prophecies concerning the Messianic age, especially the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 35, verses 3 to 6, we have this prophecy: "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, 'Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you.' Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy." This is what the prophet had envisaged about the Messianic time. Health will be restored, deaf will hear, blind will see, lame will walk, and the lepers will be cleansed. And this is what Jesus is pointing to the disciples. See what is happening. All around him, these signs were visible. Wherever Jesus went, there was healing. People who were sick, people who came to him, touched him, were healed. Healing was an essential component of the activity of Jesus. And that's why crowds of thousands of people flocked to him. Jesus touched them, Jesus healed them. And this healing was something different from what the contemporaries of Jesus were used to. Of course, there were healers, as in every time, there were physicians. Also in the time of Jesus in Palestine, there were many physicians. Some were magicians, some were healers, some were physicians. But the healing ministry of these magicians or physicians was very elaborate. They had to undergo many medications and many incantations and chants and a lot of services. But with Jesus, it was quite different. Jesus healed them with a touch. Jesus healed them with a word. There was authority in his word. There was power in his touch. As we have already seen, power was coming out of him, the people felt. There was a kind of power radiating from the person of Jesus. So much so that whenever a person touched him with faith, this power was tapped and the person was healed. Even without Jesus knowing it, We know the story of the woman with a hemorrhage. A person who had a flow of blood for so many years, 12 years, as Mark says. And this person was tortured by so many doctors, were exploited, and finally she had this in mind. If only I could touch the fringes of his clothes, I will be healed. So she came from behind, without being noticed by anybody. She did not want to reveal her identity and reveal the situation of her body. She came from behind and just touched the end of the cloth, and immediately she was healed. Jesus was aware that she was healed, and he says, power has gone out of me. So the power that flows out of Jesus is received by faith. The one who touches with faith is being healed. The power of Jesus that flows from him effected the healing. Jesus went out in search of the sick. It's something different from other physicians. He did not make any demands on those who are to be healed. He did not charge a fees for the healing activity. It came spontaneously out of his compassionate heart. The force that motivates Jesus to perform this healing is pure love, compassion. Compassion at the suffering of the person who stands or lies in front of him. He was God's compassion incarnate. That's why very often it is said Jesus felt sorry for them. Jesus felt compassion for them. A leper came to Jesus. The Gospel of Mark reports about it. He came and knelt before him and said, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. If you will, you can. Jesus felt compassion on him and stretched his hand and touched that leper and said, I will be clean. The woman, the hunchback woman who was bent double for 18 years, and Jesus feels compassion for her, touches her, and heals her. The compassionate love that goes out to the sick goes out to the lost. We'll take one example to see how this compassionate love is operative. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 18, we have the report of a paralytic being healed. This person was sick for 38 years, and he was lying at a pool called Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy. Let us see how John narrates the story. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda or Bethesda, which means the house of mercy, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The person was there 38 years. He was brought there by some well-wishers, maybe his relatives or friends, somebody who felt pity for him, somebody who wanted to help him. And this person was brought to this house of mercy, the compassion, the Bethesda, where healing was given to the sick. And he was there waiting. Days turned into months and then into years. But the expected healing did not come. In the meantime, he saw many other people who may be less ill or more ill getting well and walking away. And this particular individual lies there as a fixed deposit. He never gets up. He can never get up. And the healing did not come to him. As years passed, his eagerness for healing, his hope of getting well also decreased. And finally, he came to a kind of point where there was no more hope. He never expected anything to happen to him except the end of his life. 38 years of waiting. There, helpless, friendless, there he lay. Hopeless is his situation. Into this hopeless situation comes Jesus. Jesus sees him from afar and knows that he was there for a long time. And he asks the question, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? The answer is strange and interesting. He doesn't say, sir, I want to be healed. No. Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. He knows only of one way of healing. Jumping into the water when the waters had been stirred by an angel who came down to the pool. The first one who jumps into the water gets healed. That was a tradition. That was his hope. But he never could be the first one to jump into the water. After several attempts, he had given up. A person who had given up hope of getting healed. A person who had no hope. And now, he did not say, I want to be healed. He was explaining his situation. What am I to do? How am I going to be healed? He never thought that Jesus was able to heal him. He never knew who this person was. He did not know the name. He did not know who Jesus was. So he explained his pathetic situation and then did not wait for anything. But then what Jesus says? Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat and walk. You can do it. You have the power to do it. The power of God is working in you. You are becoming a new person. And so this self-confidence Jesus is instilling into the sick. He is giving the power from inside. He is curing the person, first in his soul, then in his body. The person becomes a new person by the contact with Jesus. Immediately the paralytic gets up, picks up his mat, and he walks. This happens every time Jesus' word addresses a sick person. This happens every time a sick person touches Jesus with faith. This happens every time when Jesus touches a person, health returns. This returning of health, the healing of the person, is a healing of the soul and body. We know the biblical understanding of illness and death. Death entered into this world, and sickness that leads to death entered into the world through the sin of humanity. God did not create man for death. Death entered because man went away against God's plan. And forgiving the sins, re-establishing the relation between God and man, the healing takes place. Jesus is the one who re-establishes this right relation between God and man. So it's a God-made man who gives health. That is the sign of life. Jesus wants his healing touch to reach every individual of all the ages. That's why he sent out his disciples, asking them to go to the ends of the earth, to proclaim the good news, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. Even during his lifetime, Jesus sent out his disciples, especially the 12, with this command. We can read it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Cure the sick, or raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You have received without payment, give without payment. Free it should be given. The power of healing is the power of God. The ministry of healing is a ministry of service, a free service. You have received free, you must give it free. It's a free gift of God. That's what the disciples are sent out to preach. Everyone who believes in Christ, everyone who believes in his healing power, gets this healing in the soul first, then in the body. Jesus wants this healing ministry to continue in his church as part of the proclamation of the kingdom. Now we know the healing ministry has become a very expensive ministry above all the other ministries. Hospital ministry was started as a healing ministry, but now very often this has become a place, a field of exploitation. Even some preachers sometimes seemed asking for payment, charging for their healing service. God wants to give health free, as a free gift. You have received free and give it free. That was Jesus' gift. This gift should continue to flow into every human being. And this gift comes through faith. Jesus, the healer, who wants to touch and heal us all, whatever be our situation. First of all, he wants to heal our soul, re-establish our relation with God, bring us back into Father's house, and there gives the joy. And this joy will express itself in accepting our illness and healing if it is God's will. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as a physician, as a healer of our soul and body. We bring to you all our afflictions. We bring to you all our illnesses. We are very often hopeless. The doctors have prescribed medicines, but they don't help. They have also pronounced a verdict that the life is coming to an end pretty soon. Lord, only you can help us. You are the source of life. You are the source of health. You are the doctor. You are the physician. We are the sick. Come, heal us, touch us with your compassionate heart. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.